The Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
I am sadly not Dan Le Batard, and he is not Stu Gotz. I'm Katie George and Taylor Twellman filling in for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotz on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's 11 a.m. Eastern, which means, Taylor, it is time for your SportsCenter update.
FedEx has asked Washington to change the Redskins' nickname. FedEx, which has the naming rights to the team stadium, said in a statement, "We have communicated to the team in Washington our request that they change the team name." Team owner Daniel Snyder has been under renewed pressure from multiple directions to change the name in recent weeks. On Thursday night, Nike appeared to remove all Redskins gear from its online store. Number 16 rated recruit in the nation, Mercure Maker, has committed to Howard. Maker's the highest-ranked prospect to commit to an historically black college or university since the ESPN recruiting database started in 2007. Maker chose the Bison over UCLA, Kentucky, and Memphis. Maker also entered his name into the NBA draft, but is likely to withdraw if he's not expected to be a first-round pick. Barbasol Shaving Cream is available in five fantastic flavors to customize your close shave, whether it's the classic original or sensitive skin. There's one for every face. Find your favorite Barbasol today.
So, Taylor, for those who don't know, the summer months in terms of radio and sports TV can sometimes be a challenge, right? I mean, we would have, in a normal year, which we can all agree that this is not a normal year by any means, that we would have MLB games to talk about and cover, MLS games as well during this time period. We have none of that at the moment. But the NFL, for better or worse, has done a really nice job in giving us content to talk about. Obviously, the Washington Redskins are back in the headlines, with Dan Snyder now faced with the possibility of changing the nickname because it is offensive and inappropriate to indigenous people. And over the weekend, a bombshell broke in the fact that Cam Newton is coming up to New England to live with you. Not technically live with you, Taylor Twellman, but maybe in your neighborhood.
Well, he can if he wants to.
He can. You've got a spare bedroom. What was the reaction like up in Boston on Sunday and Monday as the aftermath broke that Cam Newton is now a New England Patriot?
Well, the irony is, Katie, the announcement came, what was it, 4 minutes, 5 minutes before the fine and penalty for cheating again?
Super coincidental, right?
Right. I mean, the Patriots are smart. They understand the magnitude of this. Get this, by the way, Katie, side note. Of all the penalties from cheating, if you go based on where and how the picks are rated, the New England Patriots have lost an entire draft worth of players. An entire draft. If you took the two first-round picks and converted one of them into a second, that's a first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh-round pick. That's an entire draft for cheating. Anyways, I regress. It was positive. You know, there's been so much talk about Jared Stidham and can he fill the void from Tom Brady, and you hear the inside people tell you that, oh, they love everything about him. Well, if they did, you're not signing former MVP Cam Newton. You're not signing it. And then the other side of this is that in Boston, everyone wants to tell you that Bill Belichick had this plan from the beginning, which is complete hogwash, by the way. That makes no sense whatsoever. It just doesn't even add up that this was the plan. The plan from Bill Belichick was to see who and what was available. That's fine. It ended up being Cam Newton. But you're not going to convince me or tell me that all along he was going to sign Cam Newton to a minimum deal. That's not the case. And that he was going to predict that nobody wanted Cam Newton. No, you're not going to lose me with that. But truth be told, to answer your question, the answer is this. It's been all positive. All positive. Everything about it has been positive, excitement, and whatnot. And yet, there's this change of, I don't know, narrative that now all of a sudden it went from positive to, will Cam Newton be allowed to dress the way he does in press conferences, to celebrate as Superman after touchdowns, and more importantly, will he be allowed to play the way he did in the past? That's where this conversation has moved to before July 4th, and ultimately that's where the conversation is going to be when everyone returns from the holiday.
It's been an interesting shift, right? Because initially everybody said, is this going to be a happy marriage in terms of if Cam Newton is absolutely healthy, the foot, the shoulder both look good, what's it going to look like in terms of the offensive scheme Josh McDaniels comes up with? Are they going to fit Cam into Josh McDaniels' style, or is Josh McDaniel going to make some changes to fit Cam Newton and what he does best, right? That was the initial conversation. And from what we've read from our NFL insiders and football analysts at ESPN, it seems like it's going to be a great fit with Cam in New England. But now to your point, the dynamic and the conversation has shifted to, how are the personalities between Cam Newton and Bill Belichick going to line up? How are they going to work together? And there is a misconception by some of Bill Belichick and how he wants his players to operate. Damian Woody is an ESPN NFL analyst, and he was on First Take talking about that misconception.
When I heard this whole thing and I saw the clip as well, I literally laughed. I laughed. You know why? Because I've been in the building. And the one thing that Coach Belichick always would talk about is, he would always talk about, listen, you work your behind off all week. Nobody works you harder than I do. So when game day comes around, I want you to celebrate. I want you to be happy because you earned the right to do that on game day.
Is that a warranted topic of conversation, Taylor, or is this just stories for the sake of stories to further it along with Cam Newton and Bill Belichick?
It's interesting because I am so close to it with friends that have played for that team, that have won Super Bowls. So I find the conversation to be completely wasted because let me ask you this, Katie. Let me ask you this. Why would he not allow Cam Newton to celebrate, but he allowed Rob Gronkowski to do what he did for however many years? It's not as if Rob Gronkowski scored a touchdown and would hand the football to the official and go to the sideline. Like, so you can't allow Gronkowski to Gronk spike and then say to Cam Newton, no. And by the way, Cam Newton's on a one-year deal at a minimum. They both need each other. Do I think Bill Belichick signed Cam Newton to spite Tom Brady? 100%. Absolutely. Not even a question about it. They both need each other. They both want each other. I love this. But I think the conversation that, oh, I don't know if Cam's going to be allowed to spike the ball or rip his chest open and do the Superman. Get out of here. Lose me with that. He let Gronkowski do it for 8-9 years, however long it was. Like, that's not what it's going to be. Now, I think a real talking point is this. Because Bill Belichick doesn't care who you are, where you came from, and what your name is. If you don't produce, will he bench him? That's where the risk is in this signing. Because I don't see Cam Newton being a good backup. I don't. He would have signed somewhere else for more money in a interesting situation where if he is going to be the backup, he's better suited. So, for instance, Lamar Jackson. Cam Newton would have been a better backup and made more money for the Baltimore Ravens and had a better chance to succeed as a back. He's coming in here to play. But if he doesn't produce, is he really going to sit there behind Jared Stidham? Like, that's the real question, Katie. But this conversation about celebrating and attire to press conferences,
it's
dear Lord. Like, no. Like, lose me with that. Of course he's going to allow it. And quite honestly, because Gronkowski and Brady have been, ooh, we needed to get away. It was so serious and I wasn't having fun. I think Bill's going to love it. I think Bill's going to allow Cam to be Cam and get after it and win games and celebrate and not take – now, let me make this abundantly clear. Not in press conferences. Like, you're going to see Cam buttoned up 100%, which I think is better for Cam, to be quite honest with you, because it's going to make him focus, because Cam needs to have a year to get back to being a top 10 paid quarterback in this league, to move it on. And if he has that year, he's either going to be franchised by the New England Patriots and he's going to make 30-some-odd million next year, or he's going to move on as a free agent. Katie, he needs it. But this idea of having fun celebrate, I think Bill's going to play into it because out of spite, he's going to look at Gronkowski and Tom in Tampa and say, oh, really, we're not having fun up here? We won games consistently for 20 years, and you guys want to talk about having fun.
And how many NFL analysts and insiders have we heard say the same thing of Cam Newton needs to get back to being Cam Newton and having fun on the field. When he was having fun, he was at his best. In 2015, which led to his MVP season in a Super Bowl, which, yes, ended in a lackluster offensive performance against the Denver Broncos. But then when he was having fun and feeling good in 2018, it was the best start of any season that he's had at 6-2 and a 67% completion percentage. So I agree with you. Bill Belichick being he, if he encourages the fun, I think you could see Cam Newton come in there with a lot of respect and a hunger to revitalize his career, which will be a happy marriage, not only on the field, but off the field as well. Coming up, how likely is it that Dan Snyder will change the Redskins' name? We'll talk about that next, but first, Advance Auto Parts has added another winner to their roster, Die Hard Batteries. That's right, Die Hard Batteries are now at Advance. And if you're a stat freak like me, you know that means Advance got a player with unrivaled reliability, durability, and power. Plus, you can get free testing and free installation with the purchase, and you don't even need an appointment. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. How likely Dan Snyder will change that Redskins name? That's next on ESPN Radio.
The Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
And by Dan Le Batard and Stu Gotts, we mean Katie George and Taylor Twellman. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. NBC Sports Washington's J.P. Finley joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. J.P., thank you so much for joining us. Here's what we know. FedEx has formally asked the Redskins to change their nickname, and now we've seen Nike pull Redskins merchandise off their website. So when you go in the search bar and you put in the Redskins, no search results come up for it. How, J.P., did we get to this point?
Yeah, I mean, this is a long-time kind of burning issue, at least locally in Washington, that I think, you know, when the Redskins were good, kind of bubbles up to a national issue. This has been going on. I'm a native D.C. guy. This conversation has been going on my whole life. But I think the events in our country, starting with George Floyd's murder in May, have kind of magnified the issue. And I think there's so much and so many efforts towards eradicating, you know, historic usage of racist or prejudiced terms to try to finally create equality, that, you know, the Redskins name has always been there. And I think when FedEx formally asks the team to change their name, that is the biggest development really ever as far as getting this name changed. And it's more than just a sponsor, because obviously FedEx owns the naming rights to where the Redskins play their home games at FedEx Field. And that pays the team about $8 million a year. I had one league source tell me that runs through 2025. But it's more than that. The CEO and president of FedEx is a guy named Fred Smith. Fred Smith is very close with Dan Snyder, and Fred Smith is a part owner. He owns a small stake in the Redskins. He's part of the ownership group. So this is someone inside the organization asking for the name to change, and that is just a huge, huge deal.
Well, JP, you couple that with Nike not recognizing the Washington Redskins at all as an NFL franchise on any of their merchandise throughout their website. It almost feels like we really are on the precipice of this happening. Now, my question is, and I thought you did a wonderful job in your recent article in just also using the Washington poll, where it was like, what, 500 some odd Native Americans that were polled on whether or not the Redskins name is racist or whatnot. So, JP, this is all a long way of me getting to, how do they view this word, the Redskins? Because I feel like every time I read something, I'm more confused.
It's hard. It's not as cut and dry as it seems. And the poll was actually conducted by the Washington Post in 2016. And at that point, the name issue was really becoming a very, very hot topic in D.C. And the Washington Post has come out multiple times against the name publicly at their editorial board. And they conducted this survey that many thought was kind of going to be the hammer of, you got to change it, look at the survey's results. But the results were the opposite. Their results were not 90% of Native Americans polled found the name to be respectful and honoring their history. And so when that happened, it, at least here in D.C., it was like, whoa. So, you know, 90% of Native Americans actually appreciate this name. We can't ask them to change it. And I can say, on a personal, anecdotal level, I mean, I'm a beat reporter. I go to every game. I'm in all these cities. I have been at cities in Seattle in particular where there was a number of Native Americans walking around wearing, like, handmade necklaces of the Redskins logo.
Yep.
But then I've also been in cities in Minnesota last year when there was a couple hundred Native Americans protesting outside of the Viking Stadium when the Redskins were playing. So it's hard to know. Look, I don't know how this name makes Native Americans feel, and I don't know that there's one answer for how Native Americans feel. I think it's a complex issue for them. I just think, you mentioned Nike. Nike and FedEx, those are titans of industry. That is...
Absolutely.
You're talking tens of millions of dollars. And I don't know... I'd be kind of curious, kind of the legal, contractual... I mean, Nike makes their uniforms. They have to be able to sell their jerseys, you know? I mean, there's a lot of kids in D.C. that want a new Chase Young jersey. I don't know how all of that is going to work. At some point, the lawyers are going to get heavily involved. But you asked earlier the timeline for this. The 2016 Washington Post poll was a big, not to say win, but a big swing in kind of the emotions of will the name get changed or not. But Dan Snyder was quoted in the USA Today story probably 5 or 6 years ago where he said, the name will never change, never, put it in all caps. And that quote has always kind of been the underlying, hey, no matter what happens, Dan Snyder owns this team and he has to make this decision. Because I know, I mean, the organization employs smart people. There are people that understand what is happening in the country right now, and you know, statues getting torn down, all sorts of things are happening all the time, and you don't want to be on the wrong side of that. And I don't know. Basically, in the past, the team has just kind of ridden out the storm, and then you know, if we get back to football and people start talking about Terry McLaurin and Dwayne Haskins instead of the team name, maybe it all kind of goes away. I just don't know that this storm you can run out, especially if your sponsors start pulling out.
I'm glad you mentioned up his quote in the all caps. He also, Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, has come out multiple times and said, look, we're supporting the name by saying, hail to the Redskins, Braves on a warpath, fight for old DC. But to your point, when it comes to the bottom line, JP, is this the necessary pressure? And I'm not also commending FedEx and Nike in this instance either, because they got pressured by Wall Street investment firms worth a combined $620 billion before they went to the Washington Redskins. So they're feeling the pressure from capital as well. But is this enough in your mind for Dan Snyder to go back on his words of such a strong quote of it, the name will never change?
I don't know. And, you know, Snyder's a very strong personality and a strong-willed person, and he's dug his heels in on other things, nothing of this magnitude, but of other things where it seems like the organization would be better off doing something else, and they've just stayed the course. So I don't know. I can't imagine the pressure has ever been harder. There's also this kind of wrinkle to consider, too. So the Redskins play at FedEx Field, obviously. That's in Landover, Maryland. For folks not familiar with the area, Landover is inside the Beltway. It's probably it's about 2 miles probably from the D.C. line. It's close in, but the stadium stinks. The parking stinks. The public transit access there stinks. It's a bad stadium. Snyder didn't build it. He bought it, and it kind of got stuck with it. But he the team very publicly wants a new stadium. The D.C. area is comprised of D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. He's kind of flirted with all three jurisdictions about where the new stadium's going to go. But everybody, if there's one thing everybody in D.C., Redskins fans, want, would be the team to return to the city, particularly RFK Stadium, where they had their success many years ago.
So does this force – it is, JP, but does this force Dan Schneider to sell the team?
I don't see that happening. If I had to guess what would happen first, it would be change the name before he sells the team. I mean, that team's probably worth $4 billion, and he's only probably in his 50s. In another 25 years, the team's probably going to be worth $8 billion. I don't think he would sell the team.
JP, where does Ron Rivera fall on all of this? Has he been asked about the name?
He's been asked, and he kind of sidestepped it and said, you know, I'm here for football. Those things will have to be discussed and figured out. If I had to guess, knowing Ron and a little bit and just kind of knowing publicly what he stands for and all his work towards, you know, he's heavily involved in the group that supports more women getting into coaching in the NFL and more minorities. I would think, I don't want to put words in his mouth in what is an incredibly difficult situation for him. But I just think Ron Rivera is the type of dude that would want to be on the right side of history.
I would think so, too. We're talking NBC Sports Washington's J.P. Finley. J.P., thank you so much for joining us and giving such great insight. We appreciate the time. Hope you have a great day.
Absolutely. You guys, too. Thanks for having me.
Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE5W30. This should come at no surprise. A little bit of breaking news on the Redskins' name potentially being changed. We'll get into that next. It's the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
The Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
We wish we were Dan Le Batard and Stu Gotts instead.
No, we don't. Speak for yourself, Katie.
That is my co-host, Taylor Twellman. Katie George here. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Taylor, as we've been on the air, we've got a little bit of breaking news. The Washington Redskins have released a statement in regards and response to the headlines that they are now making, right? FedEx CEO has asked the Redskins, and a minority investor has asked the Redskins to change their name. Nike has pulled all merchandise from the search bar on their website. And so this is the response from the Washington Redskins that just broke. In light of recent events around our country and feedback from our community, the Washington Redskins are announcing the team will undergo a thorough review of the team's name. This review formalizes the initial discussions the team has been having with the league in recent weeks. Dan Snyder, owner of the Washington Redskins, stated, "This process allows the team to take into account not only the proud tradition and history of the franchise, but also input from our alumni, the organization, sponsors, the National Football League, and the local community it is proud to represent on and off the field." Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington Redskins, remarked, "This issue is of personal importance to me, and I look forward to working closely with Dan Snyder to make sure we continue the mission of honoring and supporting Native Americans and our military. We believe this review can and will be conducted with the best interest of all in mind," the Washington Redskins. Adam Schefter broke that news, and he also added in his tweet, Taylor, "Let's be clear, there's no review if there's no change coming." Do you agree with that based on that release that I just read to you, that this indeed means that they're going to change the name from Redskins to something else?
Initially, Kitty, yeah, I did. And then I read the statement. Two things stand out to me. One, in that statement, that is literally what, five lines, maybe six lines.
Three paragraphs.
Right. Redskins is named 10 times. 10 times, Katie. 10 times. That is a bull. I mean, when you dissect statements, and I never want to be that guy because you try to be open-minded and listen and understand and empathetic and all those buzzwords. But wait a minute. We're talking about changing the name that is quote-unquote racist to a certain demographic of our people, and yet you use it 10 times, Katie. 10 times. Now, I also don't want to get into the fact that Ron Rivera somehow got in our military into the same conversation about Native Americans, which I'm still trying to digest because I'm thoroughly confused how our military needs to be in this. So now, as I said, my initial reaction was with Adam Schefter saying, okay, yeah, there's a thorough review, 100%. There would be no review if there was no change coming. And then I'm sitting there thinking of 2013, Dan Schneider, capital letters, I will never change the name. I actually believe now, I'm going against my initial reaction. I think he's looking at this saying, I'm going to use this thorough review to prove that Redskins is not a racist word, slogan. I honestly now believe that. And even when you listen to Tony Kornheiser from PTI, he even talked about it, that the financial pressure won't be enough to force Dan Snyder to change the name.
As long as the Washington Redskins are part of the NFL and they share in the television package, that's enough to make you whole and profitable without anything else. So the money we're talking about may be money at the margins. It may be signage. It may be stadium naming. It may be stuff inside the stadium. I don't know that the economic pressure alone will do it for Dan Snyder, because as you know, Mike, he likes to carry in his pocket a piece of paper from the Washington Post in 2016, a poll in which 90% of the respondents who identified themselves as Native Americans said the name's okay. And he's always talked about that. I think, and I will draw the line with Colin Kaepernick. I've said this on this program. If Roger Goodell wants Colin Kaepernick in the league, he's got to make it happen, him. He's got to go to a team and say, you sign him. And if he wants Dan Snyder to change his name, him, he's got to publicly and privately do it. And I'm waiting for that.
So where does Roger Goodell fall in all of this? Tony Kornheiser brings up the fact that now Roger Goodell is weighing in on the Colin Kaepernick situation, which he did not handle well in 2016. Dan Snyder obviously is holding on to the poll that was run by the Washington Post in 2016. Does Roger Goodell factor into this, or is this not his place given all of the pedigree behind Dan Snyder and his agreements and legal terms in being the owner and having the name rights?
That's a good question, Katie. I don't know that. I mean, my gut reaction is yes. You know, and I said early on in this program in the 10 o'clock hour that you can't support Black Lives Matter and then not support Native Americans. Like, you just can't. It's not an apples to oranges conversation. So my initial reaction is yes. However, you and I both know we're not dumb. There are 100% going to be lawyers involved. And I don't know what that contract is when Dan Schneider signed. I don't know any of that. That's above my pay grade. But from a PR perspective, you announced the statement that you're going to go through a thorough review regarding the namesake of your franchise, and you use that namesake 10 times in 71 words or 72 words, if I counted correctly, in a statement. What? Katie, what am I missing here? It was a blatant way of saying, sure, we're going to do a thorough review. Absolutely. Wait till you see what comes out. That's where I'm at with this.
Well, here's what we know. Earlier this week, Wall Street investment firms worth a combined $620 billion threatened to pull capital from FedEx, Nike, and PepsiCo and some other corporations unless they changed the name. FedEx then contacted formally the Washington Redskins and advised them to change the names. Then Nike, on their website, took all Redskin merchandise off, so it's no longer viewable. We now have the Washington Redskins making a public statement that they are undergoing a thorough review after also Crystal Echo Hawk, founder of Alumni Native, Pawnee of Oklahoma, she said that the R word is the same as the N word in their communities. And so that is where we are with this. Obviously, much more to unpack and to unfold, and we'll be covering it all for you on ESPN and ESPN Radio. That was Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Coming up, how are college sports going to get back on the field? We'll talk about that next. But first, Advance Auto Parts has added another winner to their roster, Diehard Batteries. That's right, Diehard Batteries are now at Advance. And if you're a stat freak like me, you know that means Advance got a player with unrivaled reliability, durability, and power. Plus, you can get free testing and free installation with purchase, and you don't even need an appointment. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
The Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
Filling in for for those two greats, Katie George and Taylor Twellman. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Missing baseball? Tune in tonight for an MLB Classic doubleheader. Game 3 of the 2018 World Series and Game 4 of the 2013 World Series presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. The UFC heads to Fight Island for a title fight triple header at UFC 251. Usman versus Burns. And you don't want to miss this one. UFC 251 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV for more details. Taylor, we've been talking a lot about professional sports getting back, resuming their seasons. One that is near and dear to our hearts as former collegiate athletes is college athletics. We've heard this week from University of Miami Athletic Director Blake James, who said on Packer and Durham that people are becoming more and more worried as the coronavirus continues to spike in certain places. And then we heard from Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott this week that said, unless we see a change in the trajectory of the spread of the virus and its impact pretty quickly, I think it's a situation a lot more perilous than it has been in a few weeks ago. Do you think that college athletics faces a more difficult road ahead as compared to professional sports as they get back going?
Say that question again so people know what you just asked me before I give my answer.
Do you feel like college athletics has a more difficult road ahead of itself as it tries to play games in the fall as compared to the professional sports that we're seeing try to resume right now?
Absolutely. And you know why? It's
why?
Their own doing. Because they haven't treated the athletes, oh, by the way, the amateur athletes, but I regress. They haven't treated the student athletes the same way that professional athletes are being treated. There's no protocol. Kitty, I've reached out to 3 or 4 ADs, school presidents, just to pick their brains, right? Just to hear, what are you doing for these athletes on the quote unquote voluntary workouts? What are you doing for the, there's no protocol. The protocol that the NBA and Major League Soccer, for instance, right now, and eventually Major League Baseball, the protocol that they're doing and going through, that doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. So how are you doing that? How does Clemson have 30-some-odd athletes, Katie? 30-some-odd football players that test positive. So what I've learned from Major League Soccer over the last, I'd say, 7 to 10 days, and ultimately this is going to be the same for the NBA. It's going to be the same for college football. The exact same. Is that whatever training and protocol is going on in your quote-unquote home market is not the same when you get to the bubble. It's not. And so I believe college football, in particular college sports, these student athletes, it's going to be very difficult to pull this off because you're asking them to risk their profession and lives as if they're professional athletes, yet they're student athletes.
So nobody's prepared for this, right? I mean, we can obviously all agree on that, but you've got the NBA sourcing different medical professionals, right, paying them a boatload of money to advise them, to tell them, set up protocols and processes for us to follow. What do you think would actually work for us to be able to resume? The MLS did the same thing. The MLB, they all have the money to back it up and to put the necessary people. Football programs absolutely have the money to find different doctors, researchers, medical professionals to help them through this. But here's what's different, and to your point, is the NBA is trying to control and dictate what happens to 30 teams. Well, college football has so many more teams than that, right? I mean, this landscape is massive. The NCAA, the governing body for college football, said, hey, we're stepping out of the way here. We're not going to mandate and dictate the processes and protocols you guys follow in your markets, in your cities, your towns that you are going to have student athletes coming back to campuses to perform voluntary workouts. We're not going to tell you what to do. We're going to let you figure that out on your own because everybody's different, right? And everybody thought, okay, well, yeah, the NCAA makes up a good point. Like, what you dictate to Texas, you might not be able to dictate to Samford down in Alabama. That makes sense. But at the same time, to your point is, the NCAA is not doing their teams any favors because now people are scrambling. Right? They weren't prepared for this. They're trying to figure out how to keep their student athletes as safe as possible on campus where there might be 100 student athletes for summer school right now. What happens when 40,000 people report back on campus in East Lansing for Michigan State. Like that, to me, they're trying to work through unprecedented times just to keep 100 or 150 student-athletes safe, and they're struggling with that in and of itself. What happens, Taylor, when actual students have to come back to campus for classes? Not to mention, we're talking about teenagers here, young people from ages ranging from 17 to 23. Are you going to tell me that a walk-on on a football team who doesn't have a lot invested, isn't getting the playing time, feels for himself, and maybe isn't as dedicated as your starting running back or your franchise-looking QB, what if he goes to a party? Or what if he goes out to a bar with other students on campus and he gets the coronavirus and brings that back in? The problem with college athletics right now is you can't control what happens to your student-athletes once they leave your facility, once they leave the stadium or the arena. And that, to me, is scary, Taylor.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. But the students can be controlled because you can do online classes. You can do all that. You can try and quarantine your athletes if you need to in certain dorms and buildings. My point is, Katie, they're not proactive enough. And now, because of the Clemson news and other news, they now have to react. And now they're reactive, not proactive. And that's where they are. And it's put the season in jeopardy.
It certainly has. They have time on their side to an extent of when they will restart. We'll obviously follow this. But coming up, more on the potential name change in Washington and what kind of fit will Cam Newton be in New England? It's the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.